Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 112 for September 9th, 2007. Blimey. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/twit. It's time for TWiT, and ladies and gentlemen, let's start with a man who's been missing in action, and we have surely missed him, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
I've always been here.
Oh, that's right.
But hello.
It's right. It's not a show without John. Oh, I know. We took the week off. What am I thinking? Everybody was missing in action last week. What am I thinking? Thank you, John. It's good to see you again. Dvorak.org/blog. And he's got shrimp on the barbie. What is for dinner a little later on?
Well, nobody's invited, so...
John is not a man to mince words. Let's also say hi to Will Harris from Will.
Hello.
Where is Will? And eventually from this new TV channel that he's starting, but from right now.
Oh, so close. I can almost feel it.
So close. WILHarris.co.uk. 1L. Is that commonly how it's done in the UK, is with 1L?
No. It's just because, you know how like... You only get three letters in a high school table, right? In the arcades.
Oh.
So when I was little, I always used to just put in like WIL. That was my name for the high school table, right, on Street Fighter.
My real name is Leopold Josephus, but I could only get Leo on the arcade, so that was...
Well, there you go. We're in the same boat.
No, I'm just kidding. Actually, Leo's perfect for that. And we're going to welcome a brand new member of the TWiT panel, one I will hope we'll see a lot of in the future, because I think he does a great site. Mike Masnick is the head honcho at Tech Dirt. TechDirt, TechDirt.com, which I was stunned, Mike, to learn has been around since 1997. What have you been? Where have you been? Oh, he just fell off.
Apparently, you stunned him.
Stunned him.
He started talking, and boom, he's gone. Let's get him back on the phone here. Since 1997, I never heard. Had you guys ever heard of it?
Yeah, I have actually. I look at it all the time.
It's a great site. I do too.
I've been looking at it all the time.
Yeah, and now he's now he doesn't want to talk to us anymore.
Although, do you know he's got the little web alert down the bottom. Loads of people have got embedded web alerts on their site.
What's that?
What is it?
He did the Morgan Webb show.
Oh yeah, well I think that's because she's with FM.
And he's with FM as well.
And he's probably with FM, and FM probably makes them do that. No, they probably pay him, right?
No, they probably do. It's probably part of the contract.
That you have to do a little...
It's quite strange that you end up going
to
different websites and, you know... And
everywhere you go,
face.
There's Morgan Webb's face.
Yeah.
It's kind of
with
creepy.
Their crazy haircuts.
Kind of weird. I love Morgan. She's a great, great person. We're getting redirected to voicemail now with Mike.
Well, he'll get back. He's obviously lost his connection.
Clearly.
So let's look at this week's news.
Well, there's really one story and one story only. And in fact, Steve Jobs did a particularly crappy job of managing the news this week. Wednesday, Apple had its big announcement, new iPods. I mean, this is a big story. The iPod Touch, which everybody wanted, an iPhone without the phone. They announced a 160-gigabyte iPod Classic and a whole line of new Nanos. Yeah, it's those short, squatty ones. Although when you see them in person, it kind of makes sense because it had to have that big screen because it plays video. $150 video player. And all of this great, important news for Apple was completely overshadowed by the fact that he decided to cut $200 off the price of the iPhone. And every newspaper, every TV pundit, every talk show pundit is going on and on about Steve Jobs and all the Apple fans upset. Is it a big deal? What happened here, John? You mean
the fact that he cut the price just to prove that there are more suckers in the world than he even knew about?
I don't think he was trying to prove that.
I'm sure that's the only reason he would do that. Because let's face it, this price cut came way too soon. It came like what?
Two months.
Was it that long? whatever the case was, he rolls out this price cut, you know, pretty close to immediate, just to mock the fanboys. That's the only reason
he
did it.
That's not why he did it. In fact, I think
that's why he did it. I think you're one of them, aren't you, Leo?
I'm one. But, you know, first of all, this isn't unheard of. I mean, we've seen price drops, big price drops. Every time you buy something, it's going to drop. Is this an unprecedented drop, do you think?
Oh, well, I've never seen
anything like that. In 2 months? I've never seen anything like that. I mean,
how much did the Razer cost when it first came out? $500, $600?
I don't know.
It didn't stay at that price for very long. Part of the problem is it's obfuscated by the... you know, the subsidies the cell phone companies pay. I don't know.
The Razer was never really sold. It was a bundled product, right. So I don't think this applies. But let's back up and see what really happened here. Obviously, what happened was they overhyped the product to an extreme. So everybody who wanted one immediately.
Right.
So they must have sold pretty much to everyone who wanted one of these phones right off the bat within the first couple of days.
They saturated.
And then there must have been zero follow-up sales, because there was no ramp whatsoever. And so they just must have looked at these numbers and just freaked out and dropped the price.
So I think what was really telling was that in the USA Today interview that Jobs did, which had the famous quote of, you know, well, that's technology. You know, what do you say to all these people? Well, that's technology. Jobs said, they said, you know, what are your estimates still on the iPhone, you know? And he said, well, we're still estimating that we're going to ship 10 million in the first year. And so if you're still estimating that after a price cut of a third, you're going to hit your original target, then they can't have been on track to hit that target in the first place. They must have been well behind.
I'm going to be the dissenting party here, and you guys can yell at me all you want here. But it seems to me, first of all, they had to cut the price because they had an iPod Touch at...
Before you go on with your little story, Leo, didn't you actually stand in line to get one of these
things? 6 hours. But I didn't do it because I'm a fanboy. I want to make this very clear.
I just want to get it straight so people out there know that you're kind of engaged in the process.
No, not at all. I did it because I had to review it on the radio show the next day, and they didn't offer any review units. Well, what am I going to do? The review units came out last week. Am I going to wait 2 months to review this?
You could have called your buddy David Pogan. He would have showed you his.
Yeah, he's in New York. No, I think I really needed to have one. I will point out that on the radio show, I've consistently told people, wait, don't buy. And I'm glad I gave that.
Well, you're the reason they had to cut the price.
I think a lot of people, including my daughter and a lot of savvy buyers, said, hey, I'm going to wait until the price comes down and or a second generation comes out. However, I don't think there's that much of a furor about it. I think this is being manufactured by the press. Everybody I've talked to said, hey, I'm an early adopter. That's the price you pay. I wanted the iPhone before anybody else.
Do you not think, I read the latest Cringely column on PBS, and he makes a brilliant point, which is that, you know, who's to say that, you know, the controversy isn't manufactured by Apple? I mean, Jobs knows.
Cringely is completely wrong on this. Steve Jobs' worst case scenario. They announced all these great new products, and all anybody wants to talk about is a $200 price drop. This is a worst case scenario for Apple.
Lots and lots and lots of people thinking, "Oh yeah, that iPhone that looked fantastic."
No, you know what? It gets a lot of people saying
now it's $200.
It gets a lot of people saying, "I'm going to wait and see if Apple drops the price." It's bad for business.
Will, I think you're dead wrong, and Leo's dead right on this one.
Cringely's dead wrong.
You can't pull this kind of a stunt and then not screw up sales in the future. Because now, anytime they bring out an overpriced product, which is almost every time Apple releases anything, no one's going to buy it because they're going to expect a price cut.
We have Mike Masnick back on the line, and Mike might have to be the deciding vote on this. So, Mike, let me just fill you in on what you missed.
All right.
So apparently, both... John C. Dvorak and Will Harris are of the opinion that Apple overcharged for this phone, that the price drop after 2 months of $200 is unprecedented. We all agree it's a screw-up on Apple's part because it is distracted the media from the more important
story. Will doesn't think it's a screw-up. Let's get that straight.
All right. Will agrees with Cringely.
He thinks it's a plan.
Will thinks it's some sort of strategic plan. I'm saying it's what happens. It's normal. Okay, maybe it's a little bit soon and a little bit precipitous. But look, this happens in technology, and mostly I'm saying I don't see a lot of iPhone customers who are unhappy. I think the early adopters, they're getting that $100 credit. Most of them are satisfied by that, and they understand. Look, you buy something like this, you understand. You're going to pay a premium price. You buy the newest cell phone of any kind, you know you're paying more than it's going to be in 6 months. That's the deal. So, Mike, the pressure's on you now.
What's the tie-breaking position?
Wait, Mike, before you explain this, let me re-explain what Leo just explained. What Leo is saying is that Will and I think that, you know, people are going to be
upset.
It's upset about this. And Leo's claim is that the people who bought the phone at the ridiculous overprice
overpriced.
Are happy as clams because they're idiot fanboys who don't give a crap about anything Apple does. As long as it's an Apple product, they'll buy it at whatever price.
That's pretty much the case. They knew they were overpaying for it. And that's the price you pay to be the first in your block to have an iPhone.
I think people know that prices go down, but I don't think anyone expected them. There were two things that people didn't expect. One was that people didn't expect it to go down this quickly, because this is faster than most new products get price drops. And secondly, you usually only do that price drop when you have something else, when you've brought out, you know, the next generation of that product or some kind of advance. And in this case, there really wasn't. And so I agree that there are certainly some people who are still excited to have gotten the iPhone at full price on June 29th or whatever, but there are a lot of people who aren't happy, and I think that it definitely will make some people think twice. But
Pogue is pissed off. Pogue says it should be a $200 price rebate immediately. Now, I'm calling American Express, by the way. American Express is coming out golden on this. They don't normally give you price guarantees on cell phones. I wonder why. But in this case, they say they're going to honor it, and they'll give us the $200. And I bought it with an Amex card, so I'm going to get that $200 back.
Wow.
Wait a minute, Leo.
Hold on. Wait, stop the presses.
It's not that I don't want the money, John. I'm not saying I don't want the money. I'm just saying people should understand when you're an early adopter, you're going to pay more.
Yeah, but early adopter by 2 months?
Well, all right. That is a little quick. All right, but actually, here's where you need to break the and it isn't a tie. Actually, I'm outnumbered, but here's where you can help me a little bit, Mike. Two guys seem to think it's because the iPhone ain't selling. I'm thinking it's just because they had to rationalize their pricing to match the other iPods, and because they'd like to kick butt this Christmas. Is the iPhone not selling?
It's really tough to tell. I mean, right, there was the report that came out this week saying that it was the highest selling smartphone
in July.
It's the best selling
smartphone, that's right, yep.
Yeah, but what does that actually mean if you think about it?
Exactly. I mean, you can raise certainly a lot of questions about that. Does that really mean anything?
Well, it's just selling better than others.
Yeah.
Remember that the expectations for selling, you know, millions of units a month were not coming from Apple. They were coming from analysts, kind of cockeyed analysts. I don't think.
Wait a minute. What analysts said that they're going to sell 10 million in the first year?
Well, Apple said they would sell 10 million in the first year. I think that was fairly conservative, and I think they will.
Well, they've got to sell a million a month to do that.
No, you're right. I'm
pretty sure they could sell a lot less than a million a month and still be the best-selling smartphone.
Well, plus it's hard to sell now that you've got the iPod Touch, because a lot of the reason people might go to the iPhone is kind of obviated now by this Touch.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that people were more annoyed. It's not necessarily like the $200 premium. It's that a lot of people bought it because they wanted the awesome touchscreen iPod with the swishy interface and whatever. And they're probably more annoyed that now they can get a 16 GB version for $200 less than they paid have all the things that they really want.
Did you call that a swishy interface? Is that what the word was? I'm just...
Yeah.
Swishy?
That means something else in the UK.
I see.
So Mike,
swish everything out of the way. Left and right, you swish.
So, Mike, what do you think? You think Apple's not selling iPhones as fast as they thought, and they need to lower the price to pump it up?
It's really tough to tell exactly. I think that would make a lot of sense.
I understand. We're all just guessing here. Nobody's going to hold you to it. You could say something different next week. It's okay.
We all do. I think there's a good chance that they weren't selling quite as many as they hoped, and they began to see that, you know, once the early adopter crowd had gone through, how many people are going to buy a $600 phone. And I think actually, you know, in some ways it's a little bit creative, because when you look at it, right, I mean, okay, they just dropped $200 off the price, but it's still a pretty expensive phone, you know, compared to what else you can get out there, you know, from subsidized things from carriers. So it's still fairly expensive, but now suddenly it looks cheap.
Well, how many people are now going to just get a regular phone and get the iPod Touch? Because who needs the iPhone?
Do people want to carry two devices, right? I mean, and then it goes back to that. Some people really like having just the single device.
Yeah.
People have been carrying two devices for some time, apparently.
Well, yeah.
I got my utility belt.
Yeah, Leo looks like a guy in the army.
My pants are always sagging because all the crap hanging off of them. In fact, that's one of the reasons I really that's one of the reasons I really like the iPhone, is that it really did finally kind of combine everything into one device for the first time somewhat successfully.
It's a benefit for a lot of people, and I think there definitely will be some people out there who see it that way. I mean, you still got to convince them that it's worth using AT&T service, but that's a different story altogether.
It's kind of a shame, though, in a way, that this whole thing is distracted from some really interesting things on this iPod Touch. Has Wi-Fi, and you'll be able to automatically buy, I mean, something, you know, look, the Zune's had Wi-Fi for a long time, and all you've been able to do is squirt with it. All of a sudden now, with Apple says, oh yeah, we can do Wi-Fi, and you'll be able to buy songs at Starbucks. I think that's pretty cool.
I mean, that just kills the Zune in its own game, doesn't it?
It's like, ha ha, ha ha.
But did the Zune need killing?
No, and I don't think it's intended to kill.
I think you guys are harsh on the Zune. And Microsoft came out and said that they will, and it's not out of the realm of possibility, and I did blog this, by the way, that they will bring out an iPhone or a Zune phone. Wouldn't that be something?
Great. So, you know, 6 months too late with extra.
And somebody brought up in Cranky Geeks and said, you know, you can drop it in the toilet, and because it's brown, you'll never find it in there.
Did you see the very funny parody on YouTube of the Zune phone?
It's we have that on the blog too. It's a fantastic fun video.
Blinking 12. It's got a dial.
With the dial, yeah.
You take a picture and a little Polaroid comes at the side. What do you think of these fat nanos?
I haven't seen one, so I have no comment.
I think they look worse in pictures than they do in person. They're actually pretty cool.
I think the thing that people don't appreciate in the pictures is that they're super thin.
Yeah.
And the super thin cancels out, like, the fatness.
Yeah, I agree. Blimey. Exactly. Blimey. And these little cheap $150 iPods play video. I think, for instance, for you, because you're going to start doing IPTV, doesn't that kind of make your mouth water a little bit?
Well, yeah. I mean, I love that. Anything that gets more video to more people.
$150 bucks. You can have a video player in your pocket.
Yeah, I'm digging that, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I think a lot of people like the Nano because it's particularly thin. It fits in your pocket. Right. And I'm not sure how well these new ones are going to fit. Like, I wouldn't ever want to go jogging with, like, a fat Nano.
Right.
And I think that's where they make a lot of...
They should have called it the fatty.
it's not the... I mean, to call it the iPod Nano is a bit of a misnomer,
isn't
it? It's not a
Nano. No, it's a fatty.
It should be, you know, it should be the iPod, you know, squat,
yeah,
or something.
They could have made it cute. You know,
I squat. Maybe that's a new one.
Mike, we don't know you that well. Where do you come down on this whole thing? Are you an iPod user?
I have to admit, actually, I did just get one of the old iPod Nanos about 2 months ago, and before that, I actually did not even have an iPod.
Are you howling, I want my money back?
No. I'm pretty happy with the iPod Nano I got rather than the fat one there.
That's kind of my position, is that people are used to this. You go out and you buy. I mean, it happens to me. In fact, it happens so often to me that it's considered a law of nature now that as soon as I buy something, it'll be discontinued. It's just normal. It's what happens in technology.
Well, there's a guy on Washington Post, Stephen Perlstein, who calls everyone a whiny techie and says they should get a life.
Well, I'm not going that far.
a bit of advice for all those who rushed out to be the first with an iPhone and are now bellyaching. Get a life.
Well, maybe I will go that far. It's kind of my attitude. It's like, dudes, you wanted to, you know, you knew what you were doing. You were overpaying for a very sexy device. You got your 2 months of fame and glory, you know.
And I mean, I can't complain because over here I've still got many more months of fame and glory to come because we still don't have it.
Yeah.
So it's still, you know, it's worth the $200 tax just for the conversation stuff.
Hey, wait a minute. That may explain something.
What's that?
It just maybe this whole thing may just be about the Jobs telling the Americans to screw themselves while they give a better deal to the Europeans.
A good point. A good point. So is this a horrendous miscalculation on the part of Steve Jobs?
No.
He had to do it.
I don't think it's horrendous, but I think it's a bad call.
He should, in retrospect, the smart thing to do would have been to offer this coupon on stage. That would have diffused the whole thing. How about you, Mike? Yeah. What do you think?
That definitely would have made a difference. I mean, I think it's a mistake, but I don't think it's a horrendous one. I certainly don't think it's one that'll really harm Apple in the long term. I mean, do you really think that people aren't going to stop buying the next latest and greatest thing that he comes out with?
It might be a little slower to do so.
Well, they're going to have to deal with people throwing it in his face.
Yeah, it's going to be a personal problem for him. And then I really do think that they missed a lot of publicity they would have normally gotten for these. I think these new devices are good, and I think they missed a lot of publicity on that.
It's true that certainly the iPod Touch actually really didn't get very much publicity.
You almost don't know it exists.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Is this a good move? Is this good for Starbucks? Just out of curiosity, are they now? They've been historically now. They've been coming on strong as a music vendor. They only sell half a dozen CDs, but they're very, very strong. Is this going to make a difference in their bottom line? They're going to be selling songs?
Probably. Everything they do makes a difference
smart.
In their bottom line.
I tell you what, if the opportunity is buying the songs that play in my local Starbucks, I'll give that a pass.
That's because you're young. Wait till you get to be our age.
I think Paul McCartney album.
Yeah, I like that stuff. He was with the Beatles, I love that stuff. It's good.
So, I like the stats that they gave us. What did they say? The average Starbucks customer visits a Starbucks 18 times a month?
Jeez.
They're opening. How many stores did they say?
Go buy your own damn coffee.
Four a day.
This can't continue. This has got to be somebody. We're going to look back on this 50 years from now. Well, we won't, but somebody's going to look back on this 50 years from now and go, man, that was a weird fad.
We'll still be around.
I remember that Dvorak guy.
Nobody will remember us.
John, did you see talking about 50 years ago? Someone posted a YouTube video of you in 1987 reviewing some bizarre Apple II or something.
On Computer Chronicles.
On Computer
was
Chronicles.
The original IBM PS2.
Yeah. Great. I was like, geez, I was five when you were talking.
I was five. Yeah, you get. It's like, it's like riding a bike.
I was five.
I was five.
Palm kills the Folio.
Was it ever alive?
That one was never alive. We can joke about the Zune being dead, but the Folio was dead on arrival.
I like the Folio. I thought that was going to be a neat little product.
Oh, you just like everything.
I do. I just thought it would be a nice intermediate device for emailing and web surfing. A little bit better than, say, the Nokia 800, which is, touch and doesn't have a real keyboard, but not a full laptop. It was only going to be $500.
Do you think this is indicative of the increasing power of Engadget to dictate the news agenda? I mean, Jesus, between the Apple stock and the iPhone SIM-free, and this, it's are those guys ruling the tech industry
We should
now?
Have gotten what? Ryan Block on. He said he could only do it for 20 minutes, and I poo-pooed that. But now's the time when we should really ask him. Is he the kingmaker?
They're owned by AOL, so,
How powerful can they be?
How powerful can they be?
But I mean, 2 weeks ago, they write this massive editorial slagging off Palm, saying they're heading in completely the wrong direction. The Folio's a joke. Not only does Palm respond the next day on their corporate blog, they then take all their suggestions and run with them the next week.
Ed Colligan writes
probably because the suggestions were good, by the way.
Well, Ed says we shouldn't be doing two platforms. He agreed with Engadget. He said we're going to focus on Palm 6, on Cobalt, and we're going to let the... Because it was Linux-based. I don't know. I liked it. I thought it would have been cool. The hackers would have loved it.
Well, it looked the Cyan 7.
I've never liked that form factor ever.
It's the mini laptop thing?
Yeah, it's just useless. What is a laptop? The worst case scenario or the best case scenario, I guess, for a laptop is 2.2 pounds. You get one of those little Toshibas. It's got a full-size keyboard. It's got a big screen. You can take it on an airplane. It's got a lot of battery life. You can go all over the place with it. What is this thing saving you? What, a pound? Maybe? And it's unusable. And it looks stupid, and you have to be, have to have a magnifying glass to read the screen. I mean, this started with the Toshiba Libretta.
Oh, yeah.
And it went through the Gateway Handbook and a slew of other machines that have tried this form factor. None of them have been successful in any Western country. They apparently are quasi-successful in Japan. Thus, they get reintroduced over and over again because, golly, if the Japanese like it, we must. And they always fail. So I'm surprised even it was dead on arrival. End of lecture.
You really just kind of killed that, man. That's, you know, forget Ryan Blocking and Gadget. I think Dvorak's killed the folio. Wow. All right. You're right. That was a bad idea.
But then saying that, I mean, don't you think like the Scion Series 5 was like one of the greatest portable computers ever made?
You know, and that's where my nostalgia comes from, is I love the Scions. It was smaller than that.
The pop-out keyboard, I mean, yeah. That was just heaven, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I still want, where's my Sinclair X100?
Oh, you don't want that. Come on, really? No, go on.
Hey, you know what I do have, though, in my collection? I have the first Sinclair pocket calculator, little electronic calculator.
Really?
They got them started.
According to Boing Boing, my favorite news source, but I do love Boing Boing. But actually, they're quoting the Financial Times. Apparently, China's military hacked into the Pentagon 3 months ago.
Yeah, if that's actually true, which I question,
you don't believe
it. China's got some explaining to do.
You got some explaining to do.
Yeah, come on, you didn't. This goes on all the time.
I'm sure they try.
It's just like the big, it's the big elephant in the room. Everybody is spying on everybody else. Everybody is hacking everybody else. You know, just nobody wants to talk about it.
Pentagon acknowledged shutting down part of a computer system serving the office of the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates. Oops. But it didn't say who it believed was behind the attack. But current and former officials have told the Financial Times an internal investigation revealed the incursion came from the People's Liberation Army.
So I'm looking at an old video from probably the early 60s that was filmed in China.
Yeah.
And I never knew this, but you know the Chinese flag's got that big yellow star and then four little stars?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody here know what the stars stand for?
No. And I should know. I was a Chinese major.
You should know, right?
Yeah.
The big star, and this kind of goes back in history, and it's weird because there's no real documentation for it, but this guy explained it as it was explained to him in this crazy old black and white thing, which is actually available on YouTube. I was going to blog it, but it's an hour long. I didn't think it was something people should be watching. Anyway, the big yellow star stands for the Chinese Communist Party.
Okay.
And then the first three stars stand for the peasants, the intelligentsia, and the people, and the fourth star is
the party. Probably the party.
No, the party is the big star.
Oh, that's the big
fourth star, which is the interesting one. The fourth star stands for capitalists who are sympathetic to the party.
That's bizarre. That can't be true.
I know, that's what I thought. It's like crazy, but this is what came up in the conversation. Anyway, check it out. If people, you can send us email, and we'll get this straight. Because nobody, you won't see an explanation for it, for these stars.
Maybe President Bush asked Hu Jintao that when he met with him in Australia.
No, this was in the 60s.
Oh, all right. I doubt President Bush has seen that video. Angela Merkel, Germany's chancellor, that's the woman that Bush gave a little massage to, you might remember, raised reports of Chinese infiltration of German government computers with Wen Jiabao, China's premier. And the farm ministry said the government is opposed to and forbids any criminal acts undermining computer systems, including hacking. Hacking is a global issue, and China is frequently a victim. We didn't do it. I didn't do it.
The Bart Simpson alibi, isn't it?
I didn't do it.
Nobody saw me do it. You can't prove anything.
I didn't do it. All right. Sony's rootkit. Sony, another rootkit story. Did you cover this at all, Will?
No, apart from to say that, you know, Jesus, can't those guys just get a grip? I mean,
Dvorak.org/blog covered it.
Of course they did. And in fact, there's an update on the record rootkit. So this new rootkit was on some security thing that they made.
On a dongle.
Thumb drive dongle thing.
A USB key thing.
So that maybe you could say, well, all right, it's a security device. But, you know, when you put it on a CD... So now, in a New York Times interview, Rick Rubin, who is the co-head of Columbia Records, which is owned by Sony, said, I don't know if this is a slip, if it's a mistake. He said that the root kit recorded information about whoever played the record.
I don't think he knew. I mean, he just
made a mistake.
He's not savvy enough.
The context for that was that he was pissed off because he had produced the Neil Diamond album that had come out like the week before, before the whole Rootkit thing broke on Columbia, which is Sony, and it was one of the CDs that had it, and it killed the sales for that particular CD because it got pulled from the
shelf. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
I thought it was Neil Diamond that killed it. It was just...
He said, and trust me, I have no idea, but he said it was the best opening week for a Neil Diamond album ever. It had, like, come in number 4 on the Billboard charts or something, and then the whole Rootkit thing came, and it got pulled from the shelves. And so I think
I'm sorry, but maybe they hate Neil Diamond or something.
It's possible, but I don't think he actually had any insight or knowledge into what the Rootkit actually did.
Yeah, you're probably right. He's probably just some dumb exec.
I'm sorry. This begs the question: what is wrong with Sony?
We know what you hate Sony. We know that.
No, I do not hate Sony. I love Sony. I think it's one of the greatest companies in the history of Western civilization.
It's mismanaged.
It's just that they're mismanaged. I hate the management.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty obvious. I don't think it could get any worse for Sony. Is there any good news for Sony at all? Mm-hmm. I don't even buy. You know, Sony's got some good video cameras, and I'm looking at now these solid state video cameras. I think that's kind of intriguing, and they make a good one, but it records onto a magic stick, and I'm not going to buy anything. Ugh. I'm not going to buy anything that doesn't record onto a standard.
It's
not called a magic stick.
That's what I call it. What is it called? The memory stick.
Memory stick.
I think they used to call it.
The copy protection is called magic gate.
Oh, that's why I'm confused.
So people like to call it the magic stick. But I mean, talking about a crazy mismanagement, what do you think about this whole Netscape furore?
What happened at Netscape?
Well, you know, the Calacanis social news digger-like on Netscape.com.
Right, which sure pissed off Kevin, I remember.
Right. Well, it's been canned.
Yeah.
They're ditching it.
Whoops. Now that Jason's gone, let's just get rid of that. That wasn't working out so well.
Well, it was embarrassing because you'd see, like, well, it wasn't digs. It was something else. I forgot what it was called. But it was always like 2 and 3.
Right.
I mean, the numbers made it look as though nobody's looking at the site.
And I remember when Jason put this out, he was trumpeting, but, you know, we have more users than any other website. You know, like millions of uniques a day or whatever it is. But what they forgot to point out is that's because these are all people who haven't figured out how to change their homepage.
Right, let alone post.
I mean, it was kind of sad because, you know, in the last few months, you kind of got the impression that people were starting to get used to it and people were using it. And I mean, initially, it was like, you know, 1 vote, 2 votes on the page. But they were up to a few hundred. There were some really intelligent comment threads on there. Like, I really quite liked it. And, you know, 6 months into the experiment or whatever, it was starting to get there. And it seems like they killed it off just as it was starting to get some real traction, which I think
that would
quite
make
sad,
sense.
Really. You know, I mean, it did seem like,
hey, look, it's doing well. Let's kill it.
Yeah, well, that was just it. It really seemed like it was going somewhere, and now they've killed it, and we'll never know.
Well, I think they said they were going to move it to some other destination, but they never said where.
Take it out the back somewhere.
Yeah.
Bury it. Another Verizon Fios install gone bad. This is from Mike's TechDirt.com. Apparently, technicians started a fire at a customer's house when installing the Fios service. Verizon says, we didn't do it.
Started a fire.
Verizon.
Well, they keep claiming that it's not fire because there's only smoke.
So this happens a lot?
Hey, where there's smoke, there's fire. It's a known fact.
Yes, well, it's apparently happened a few times.
What are they doing? What are they doing? Are they melting the glass? Are they blowing the fiber in the basement? What's going on?
I have no idea. I mean, there are questions about the, I guess, competency or skill level of the people that they have installing these things. But I mean, you know, it's really not just Verizon either. I mean, certainly there have been reports of fire started by other installers for other companies too. But
and that makes me feel much, you know, better.
Yeah, it should, shouldn't it? Right? But I mean, I think it should raise questions about about all of these things, that, you know, how well trained the installers are. I mean, these people come in and they do some pretty serious wiring stuff in houses all the time. And when you hear multiple reports of smoke or fire, depending on your position on it, I think it's pretty worrisome.
I don't want any smoking in my basement.
Yeah.
Or firing.
Smoking or firing.
So let's skip to the top bogus news story of the day.
The biggest, ladies and gentlemen, I need a little, the biggest bogus news story of the day.
Skin signals betray a gamer's move, according to New Scientist. Now, that's not to say that there's not something to this, but the kicker is, you know, let me read this. The Budapest, of course, this is a problem, University of Technology and Economics, interesting combination, have discovered that a gamer's button presses can be predicted 2 seconds before they make them.
Yeah, you think
these guys have never worked in radio, Leo. two seconds is a long time.
1001, 1002. Yeah, you're right. That's an awful long time. All they need is half a second, frankly. They're saying, and if you look at the graph, that there's a spike in the galvanic skin response, and you start perspiring right before you're going to click the mouse.
And
so what's the application? Oh, you can make a game no one could ever beat. Well, that's great. That's useful.
Well, you could just disable the guy's mouse thing just for a split seconds. It's driving crazy.
The Budapest Science and Technology or Economics and Technology Department has come up with the ultimate practical joke. Thank you very much. We'll remind you, April Fools.
Well, obviously, the economics angle is if it's a game that nobody can ever beat, you're just going to be putting in your quarters forever. And so it's like the ultimate money spinner.
How are you doing on Bioshock right now?
You know what? I haven't really played it. My Xbox has been on the blink.
Oh, you got the three red rings?
I hate to be the harbinger of potential death.
Your Xbox crapped out?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's not looking so healthy right now. I haven't had the three red rings per se, but every time I put a disc in, it freezes.
Huh. Oh, that's bad.
That's not good.
No, Bioshock is such a good game.
This whole thing, this whole Xbox fiasco with these units failing left and right. I don't think it's discussed enough. I mean, who are the people that were making these products for Microsoft, or who designed the box? I mean, there seems to be something seriously wrong. If they had the failure rate they're having.
Well, and that they haven't been able to fix it.
Right.
They're still making them the same way. How old is your Xbox, Will?
I guess about maybe 18 months
all right.
now.
So you have an early one.
Yeah. I have a day one Xbox that never had a problem.
Mine hasn't had a problem either, so there you go.
I have a friend who was talking to me earlier, and he lives in... out on the West Coast, and he had to send his back, and he took it to the DHL depot, and it's only in this sort of like little town, and the guy at the DHL depot said it was the third one he'd sent back that day.
Yeah, I wasn't going to play any Xbox games until Halo 3 came out, just to make sure that didn't happen, but Bioshock took me off guard. It's really good. It's really great. Mm. Another good story from the Tech Dirt files. a woman in China chopped her husband's hand off as he sat at the computer at an internet cafe. She felt he wasn't paying enough attention to her. Now,
that's the way to get the attention.
Well, apparently, according to you, Mike, the guy says he only noticed when the pointer on his screen stopped moving, and he felt some numbness in his hand.
Yeah, apparently it was quite a shock. Yeah, you read that story and it got reported all over the place, and there is a part of you that wonders like how true that is.
I think these stories coming out of China are all made up, but I love it. I think the Chinese news, is it from Xinhua? Is it from a legitimate news or agency, or is it?
It was posted all over. I don't know. Again, I forget which one I linked to. I think I linked
to computerweekly.com. Yeah.
And I think, the New York Post had it, but again, I don't know. Do you trust the New York Post?
I think that there's somebody in China who was working at Weekly World News and now that got laid off and is now working for the Chinese news agency. Cause it happens almost every, three or four months we get some story like that. It just a little bit strains the credulity. I just love that though. I mean, you can't resist a story like that.
It's impossible not to do something with that.
And I'd be honest with you, I can't be sure that I would have noticed myself. I could have been playing BioShock, and probably.
Well, the thing that I was wondering, which isn't explained in the article, is what she used to chop off his hand.
Well, a cleaver, of course.
Where did you find that in a cyber cafe?
She brought it with her.
Walked down to the cyber cafe with the cleaver, found her husband, and whacked off his hand, and he didn't notice at all.
And then he didn't notice. Well, maybe it was a very sharp cleaver. So the good news is the bees. Well, I don't know if it's good news. It's good news for cell phone users, but the bees aren't leaving because of cell phones. They now think the bees are leaving because of a virus that came to us from Australia. I guess there's nothing more to say about that. That's it's even the fact that I'm even saying this is just bizarre.
That's not great.
Well, yeah, it's not good for honey, but it is good for cell phone users. You don't have to feel guilty, because there was some speculation that the reason the bees were disappearing was that the cell phone. I don't know who made that up. Apparently, they made it up.
Well, I think there was a misinterpretation of a study. Like, a study came out that kind of brought that up as a possibility,
right?
And the press kind of ran with it as, oh yeah, that's exactly what happened. And then even the guys who wrote the study were like, wait, that's not actually what we said.
We were just saying that could have been, but it turned out to be a virus. Right. So,
right.
Fear not.
What about this Steve Fawcett thing?
That's kind of
which is crazy. Yeah. It's gone out to Amazon's Mechanical Turk.
Yeah. So the deal is aviator Steve Fawcett's missing, and his good friend Richard Branson, who has a little bit of money, first went to Google and said, "Is there any way we can use up to date satellite photos from Google to search for him?"
Up to date.
Well, that's what the first thing I thought was. Wait a minute, Google Maps, Google Earth, it's ancient, but apparently there are more up to date, almost daily satellite images they could use. And now they're using the Turk. They're using the people on the Turk to scan these images. Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, my favorite part of the story is they've already found 50 other missing,
This things. Should be a full-time job. Somebody should always be going through these pictures.
Nevada is like filled with it. And the problem with Nevada, my wife was raised there, and she mentions this to me, is that you crash land in Nevada and you're just out for a minute or two, the coyotes, the buzzards, and all the rest of the wolves, it's not wolves so much, but there's other animals out there that just carry your carcass off, and you're just eaten, you're gone.
So apparently they are.
So I thought I'd liven things up with that.
There you go. You're dead. You're history. Well, apparently they think they might have found him. Or at least they're going out. The most recent, as we record this on a Sunday afternoon, the most recent story about 15 minutes ago is that crews are going out to yet another possible location. That's an interesting use of technology. When James Kim went missing, they tried to use these kinds of Google Earth thing. It wasn't
well. Fawcett was loaded with technology himself, but apparently, that didn't do him much good.
Right. Well,
devices and radios and GPSs and everything else. But I guess if you crash, the technology breaks. A smoke bomb would have been more useful.
No kidding. It's interesting how many, you're right, how many crashed planes they've discovered. It's kind of incredible. I guess if you want to participate, you can go to mturk.com and join the search. There's no money reward, but you can participate in it. And I guess have you tried this, Will? Are you just scanning through these satellite images, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, you feel like a bit like you're in SETI or something.
Yeah.
Like you're looking for the needle in a haystack without much hope. But
kind of wild.
Well, you got any more up-tempo stories for us?
Yeah,
Will?
I got to pick things up before I do the Audible commercial.
But what about Apple trying to slash TV to 99 cents?
Yeah, I like that story.
I hope they do
That'd be brilliant.
Seems NBC was, and we didn't talk about this, I think, because it happened while we were on hiatus. But this stupidity of NBC just boggles the mind.
I guess the whole thing may have been overblown by both parties. Let's just see how it shakes out. But I think they're right. 99 cents should be the price, and the price for music should be 50 cents while you're at it.
Or lower. Yeah. There have been studies that
25 cents. I'd be buying music.
People buy more music. Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say lower on both accounts, right? I mean, you look at all of MP3, whether or not, you know, you agree about the legality of it. People are willing to buy music when it's super, super cheap. At a dollar a pop, it begins to get, you know,
dollars high.
Kind of expensive.
I guess the question is, you know, obviously, if you're going to cut it in half, you've got to double sales. If you cut it by 20, you've got to increase sales 20 times. I mean, can they do that? What is the right number? There is a study. I remember seeing a study. In fact, we interviewed him on the TV show out of Canada. The right price was a nickel for a song.
I like it. You know, curiously, the nickel was the old licensee price that you'd pay. If you wanted to go to Capitol and put together one of those crazy albums that they sell on television, mm-hmm. all the great songs of the 60s, and you have a bunch of different songs on it, the nickel was what you'd be paying for each one of those tracks as a licensing fee.
So if you had 20 tracks, you pay a buck.
Right.
And you make whatever else. Yeah, that's interesting. And how much of that nickel went to Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons is the question.
What do you think?
Nah, nothing. Nothing. Frankie's still touring, by the way.
I don't know what the price is. Probably more than a nickel now, but that's what it used to be some time ago. So here's a new story. It's kind of upbeat. It's interesting that that Nikon's finally countered Canon with a full-frame digital single-lens reflex camera.
Canon's really been making hay with the fact that their pickup is 35 millimeters.
Well, that and everything, the fact that they're way ahead of the curve when it came to competing in that market.
Yeah, they really were.
Even before they came up with the full-frame, they were killing everybody.
So, Nikon's going to do a full-frame. It'll be very expensive initially.
$5,000.
Yeah. Is the issue CMOS versus CCD? Is that the problem, or are they all
not yet?
CMOS?
No. This is, I think, as far as I can tell, the Nikon one is a CCD.
Oh, interesting. So that's, and Canon's using CMOSs. So,
right, they're still the only ones. Now, I just had a meeting with Kodak the other day, and about this issue, because Kodak's going to move to some CMOS sensors.
I think that everybody's moving that way, aren't they?
Well, there's an advantage to both.
Right.
Technologies, but they're not moving as fast as all the CMOS people had predicted. That's for sure.
Right.
In fact, I've won a number of bets with people in the industry about this.
Because the CMOS production got better and they were able to produce bigger chips, higher quality, get rid of some of the defects. Is that what was going on?
No, it's still noise is the real issue with CMOS.
Right.
You have to have a lot of processing power on the package to kill the noise that CMOS produces.
I see.
But what's cool about CMOS as opposed to CCDs is that, you know, there's always this issue with the lag time.
Right.
And CMOS never really had a lag time. That's how the Canon could kind of jump ahead of everybody else because it didn't have... CCD is a charge coupled device. It has to be charged. So you had to give it a jolt of electricity before it could actually suck in the data. With CMOS, you don't have to do that.
I had no idea. Fascinating. That is upbeat. Thank you for lifting our spirits, John.
Well, here's another upbeat, feel good, little friendly, warm.
This could be the feel good twit because you know the last twit was really the depressing twit. So
I wasn't here.
Sony Online Entertainment's Austin studio.
Yes.
Presented the local Habitat for Humanity with $10,000.
Oh, isn't that
to
nice.
End poverty housing in the area? And guess how they raised it?
How?
Funds were raised as part of an in-game event for Star Wars Galaxies MMO. Video game.
Does anybody play that?
Well, all these
apparently
and
in Texas
and whoever were allowed to demolish abandoned or unoccupied houses and buildings in the real world, in the game world.
Oh, how fun.
And then like I guess maybe like for every building they demolished they paid $1, and then that went to the local housing association. I was amazed that 10,000 people are playing Star Wars Galaxies.
Wow, they're still there. Well, maybe that attracted them, the fact that they could tear the old place down.
Maybe it was just vengeance.
They only liked it.
Sony has wreaked on them.
Let's all go to Tatooine and tear the place down! Well, I want to thank Audible.com for supporting our show and, in fact, our entire network, audible.com/twit. That's where you can go if you're not an Audible member yet. Join there because you'll get a credit for a free book. And even if you decide not to stick around, there'll be no charge for that free book. Confessions of an Economic Hitman, John, I have to say, is still the number one recommendation we've made. That actually made it onto the Audible charts because of you.
Oh, I'm a. That's well. You people probably tell their friends too because it's really an outstanding. It's especially good to listen to while you're driving around.
There you go. I want to recommend. I'm finally coming to the end of something that I've been reading for on Audible for about I don't know 6 or 7 years. It's the Aubrey Maturin series. There are 20 books. 20 books, each about 8 hours. That's a lot of hours. 160 hours of listening to this 18th century sailing novels, but they're so good, and I'm so sad I didn't want to end it, so I kept the last three, but I finally broke down, and I'm reading them. I highly recommend them. The guy they have reading these is so good. He just puts you right there. You can smell the salt air, taste the hardtack. You can feel the floggings and have the rum just warm you up. It's just great. You got to start at the beginning, which is Master and Commander, and you might have seen the movie. Master and Commander. That's what it's based on these. But really, have any of you ever read these? You should read them, Will, because you're from Britain.
Oh, hey, by the way, Leo?
Yes.
That Nikon camera is CMOS. I'm just reading the article.
It is.
Now.
So that's what happened. So they went to CMOS. That's what happened. That's what happened.
No, I've been reading Bringing Down the House by Ben Mezrich.
Yes. Tell us about that.
Well, it's fantastic. It's about these sort of MIT students who basically run like a card counting ring.
Isn't it amazing?
In Vegas. They do it for years and make millions.
Yes.
And the guy has told his story basically because they got away with it and
yes.
Nobody knew that they'd done it. And they'd taken Vegas for millions and they wanted somebody to know.
They would train people. They would select you, carefully select you and train you in their methods. And it was a team. So you could never, they never got caught because of the way they swapped off.
Right.
Very clever. That's a wonderful.
I think there was a 60 Minutes program on these guys.
Bringing Down the House. That is a great suggestion. Is that on Audible? I hope it is.
Probably. Everything is.
Let me just search. There are 35,000 books. No, it's not. Ah.
Oh, no.
Ah.
I thought I'd got a good one.
Did you look and see before you recommended it?
Sorry.
It's a wonder. You know, this is our book segment anyway. This is our book segment. And it is a fantastic book. You know, there's another one, similar idea, although not as successful, called The Eudaimonic Pie. Did you ever hear that one?
No.
Yeah, you should read it. It's the same idea. They built a shoe computer. And it was actually crazy because people were getting slightly electrocuted by this shoe computer.
Would you believe two shoe computers?
This was in the early 80s, so it was very early on. And you'd use your toes. Because it was basically,
oh, right. I heard about this. Yeah. They busted these guys. Yeah, you tap with your toe and then you could do card counting.
It was a card counting computer.
Most good card counters just do it in their head.
Right. But, I mean, obviously with the shuffling that they shuffle up 10 decks and shuffle up halfway through. It's very difficult. But this computer could do it even with the multiple decks and so forth. It's actually hysterical. Hysterical.
You know, I was visiting the back rooms of the Mirage once, where I was just showing the security system.
Such security there.
Oh. And which is pretty cool because they have cameras everywhere and it's kind of funny. But I was told by someone that they have, apparently there's a number of card counting methodologies. And now they have computers that the other side uses when if they suspect you as a card counter, they start putting your bets and the deal into the computer, and they can figure out which methodology you're using, and then if they can confirm it with your next two moves, they'll throw you out of the place. And they've got it to the point where now they can even find people who have hybrid methodologies where they use a little bit of this guy's theory and a little bit of that theory.
But wait a minute, and they're doing this in their head. I don't see why that should be illegal. I could see not bringing in a computer or any assistant, but if you could do that in your head, you should be allowed to play.
No, I know, but you're playing in a casino is a right, not a privilege, so they can throw you out for any reason.
That just stinks. It's not cheating. You know,
cheating you,
Vegas.
Basically. It's Vegas.
It's Vegas.
Vegas isn't fair, is it?
Vegas,
no,
baby.
It's essentially, you know, Leo, it sounds right what you say in terms of the libertarian perspective.
But there's no liberty.
The fact
here.
Of the matter is, if everybody could just card count, They would take the casinos for millions because it works.
So what? They're taking us for millions.
Well, that's but they already
say
that.
And
how many people can actually card count effectively in their heads? Not very many.
It's kind of almost a savant.
There's apparently some techniques that you can use to make it easy.
I read Beat the Dealer. It didn't help me.
I got a better idea. Just don't gamble.
Don't read. Yeah, don't read Beat the Dealer and then go to Vegas thinking you're going to win, folks, because it ain't going to happen. Anyway, the one book that we've mentioned here, and we've mentioned four now, that they do have, I can tell you, is the Aubrey Matcherin series. Highly recommended. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's one of those things you start reading and you just, you know, it's like candy. You just got another and another and another. So give it a try at audible.com, AUDIBLE.com. There's nothing like an audio book. It just really is a great way to read. I do all my reading pretty much now via audio, and it's so wonderful. AUDIBLE.com/twit. And we really thank the folks at audible.com. They've continued on with us. They're still with us. And we like that. All right. I could tell that your pork is now almost done, John.
Actually, it's chicken.
Chicken. I hear the tapping. The little tapping of your fingers.
Well, there's no more news stories that I can see worth it.
There's nothing more to talk about.
Very slow news week.
We have. Well, you know, it's good we took last week off because, really, frankly, we would have had nothing to talk about this week. We have the Apple announcement. That's it. I do really want to thank you, Mike Masnick, for joining us. And
sure.
Hope we haven't scared you and hope you'll come back.
Absolutely. I'm sorry for disappearing at the beginning of the call there.
That's all right.
Hopefully he comes back with better broadband, too, I might add.
Yeah, you know, he sounded great at the beginning and it's deteriorated, I think. Net neutrality. Oh, by the way, there is a big story that we
net
didn't
neutrality.
Talk about. No, we didn't. Did you see this? The Department of Defense made a recommendation to the FCC that
yeah, that's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, like and not just a recommendation. They basically, someone said, I can't remember who, unfortunately, but someone basically said their response was basically just saying what AT&T said.
Yes,
which is what.
It's almost as if AT&T wrote the statement for them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the quote here.
Well, you know, we should talk about this next week, and you should get on Andrew Orlowski of the Register.
We will.
Who of all people, is very pro, I mean, he's against net neutrality.
Well, you know, I understand
is he against legislation, or is he against the whole concept of net neutrality?
I don't know. I mean, I don't understand what he's talking about. But he's against the. I think he's a little of both.
Well, I'll get him on.
He's got some theory about it.
I know what the theory is. Oh, the free markets will overpower and so forth. And if your ISP is blocking Google, well, just go somewhere else. The problem is most people don't have that option. At least in the States, we're lucky if we have two choices in broadband. And if both of them are, you know, big companies that block Google or ask Google for some backsheesh before they get high speed internet. To us, I just think that's not going to work. The market is not going to rule. You got Comcast, AT&T, and Verizon all saying, you know, we want money from Google. And now the Department of Justice saying, yeah, what AT&T said. That's exactly it.
Was it Justice or Defense?
No, it's Justice. It's Department of Justice Antitrust Division. They say basically there should be no network neutrality regulations because, of course, that's, you know, bad for internet innovation.
Was that before or after Gonzalez?
Ah, good question. It just came out. So it's after Gonzalez, but he's not gone. So it might well have been Gonzalez. Who knows?
Maybe it's his last screw you.
Could be. They said, hey, you know, there's a long tradition of the, for instance, they used as an example, the Postal Service, which charges extra for special delivery. Completely misunderstanding the point people are making.
It's the tubes.
Completely. I mean, if nobody's
it's
saying...
It's not a truck.
Nobody's saying that an internet service provider can't charge for bigger bandwidth. They're saying that you cannot discriminate against a website like Skype and say, oh, well, we don't want Skype to have as much bandwidth as other guys. And that's... They just completely misunderstood the issue.
It's all about Skype.
It's about Skype and Google. And video. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. Maybe we'll get Andrew on the show. I'd love to get Andrew on the show, actually. He's in San Francisco, right?
No, he's in London now.
Oh, he moved back.
But Will can hook up with him. And
yeah, you know everybody in London, don't you, Will?
Yeah, that's fine. We'll sort it out.
He knows everybody. If you live in London, you thus must know everyone in London.
Of course, because London's such a small,
very small place.
Small town. Mike's site is techdirt.com, and it is really, I don't know how, frankly, you do it, Mike, because you commentary on all of the news stories, very, I think, very astute and right on. And it seems like you do multiple postings every day. It must be more than a full-time job for you.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, if you don't sleep, it solves all sorts of problems.
Sleep is so overrated.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing that stunned me. You've been doing it since 1997.
Yeah.
Were you doing it as a blog?
It started as a blog in early 99. Before, 97, it was an email newsletter.
Wow.
And then it kind of over.
Long, long time. And now you've got this Tech Dirt Insight community, which I think is a very interesting idea. We were talking about Mechanical Turk earlier. It's kind of the same idea where if you're an expert on something, you bid. Well, actually, what is this? What is this music in the background? Are you watching an old-timey movie? So if you're looking for analysis from experts, like, say, the Twit panel, you would say, I want some information. And then the Twits would say, well, that'll cost you $1 million.
We get no information for you.
$1 million. And then people say, yes, see you later. But I guess you've got quite a... I'm looking at the...
It just starts by itself. I can't stop it.
I think that's BioShock. Are you playing BioShock in there? I think it's a really good idea. Is it doing well, Mike?
Yeah, it's been doing great. It's been growing very, very rapidly, and it's been really exciting, especially to see kind of the analysis that's come out of the community. It's really
and there you can download. So there is free analysis, so you can see what kinds of things people are coming up with.
Yeah, we have some samples on the site, so you can check it out. And then if you need analysis yourself, sign right up.
I love it. I need analysis, but it's going to cost me more.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely for sure. And it's, you're focusing on expert bloggers, but I guess that really could be anybody, right? I mean,
we're actually starting to open it up more and more. Initially, it was we were using bloggers, because we had a really good sample of their writing and ability and their insight. And there's been a lot more demand, and people have been coming to us and saying, look, I've got all these published journal articles. I'm an expert. So we're like,
right.
You can
I'm an expert. Really? I am. Honest.
That's how I got started.
I'm an expert. John was an expert in wine when he got started. I don't mean whining. I mean wine.
I transfer from wine to whining.
Wine to whining. But, in those days, you didn't have to know anything to be a computer expert because there was like two computers.
Yeah, if you had a computer.
You were an expert.
There's more stories, by the way, of people in the late 70s who just, for some reason, for the Christmas or something, they got an Apple II for their Christmas present. The next thing you know, they were ahead of the computer department of some company because they at least had one.
Yeah, exactly. In those days, you didn't have
to know
anything.
There's a ton of people I know that tell you that same story. Yeah, I had the Apple II, so they put me in charge of all the computers.
And now look at me. I'm a .com billionaire. John C. Dvorak's blog is at dvorak.org.blog /blog. When did you start doing that?
Almost 5 years ago.
Look at that. Isn't that
if I had started when you started blogging, I'd be a rich man.
I started in 2001, and I never got anywhere with it. I just kind of...
Well, that's because you never pushed it, and you didn't do multiple postings, and
I know.
Very passive. You weren't a real blogger.
No, I'm not a real blogger. I'm a phony blogger. And, of course, Will's blog, Where is Will? Is it Will with one L, because it could fit on the arcade game, willharris.co.uk. And when is your new company starting? Any minute now, right?
Any minute, hopefully.
I heard that a year ago.
Any day now. I thank y'all for joining me.
When I'm older.
I'll get it done. Nowadays, anybody who has an iPhone can be an expert.
Well, exactly.
So there you go. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next week. Another Twit.
This is amazing.
It is in the can.
I should have paid attention. I don't know what I'm going to do. Too much work. The problem is, there's no limit. My server's completely collapsed. So here's the deal. I'm just trying to get the thing up, but I have a hell of a time. What blue screens? Like, forget it. I'm killing you.
Round the horn.
Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Let's go right.